When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumor Show. It's our first episode of the year. Sorry, we were supposed to come back last week, but Hartley, you were a little bit under the weather, so I hope you're feeling a little bit better at least.
I am.
Okay, that's good. I'm currently in San Jose, California, so if you're wondering why I'm in a hotel room, that's exactly why. I got to check out the brand new Samsung Galaxy S25 lineup. And so, yes, we're going to talk a little Samsung, but it's got its tied, you know, we're going to tie it into Apple as usual because that's what we do. And, you know, it's just, it's good to see what the competitors are doing out there. And I don't know, the biggest thing is AI, again. I think people are getting kind of sick of it, but like at this point I've realized that you can't really iterate too much on hardware anymore. Like you can if you come up with a completely different form factor, yada, yada, new design. But like if you're content with the design you have, it's a lot of very small, minor changes, you know, internal spec bumps, new chips, that's great. But then the rest of it's just going to come to software. And the biggest software features right now are all the AI stuff. And so as I was sitting and watching the keynote, and we had like a briefing the day before, and we got to check out some of the demos of the AI features, like I kind of feel like everything they showed me, I think is more useful than like what you get with Apple Intelligence. And I am going to shamelessly plug that I do plan to do a Galaxy AI versus Apple Intelligence video and just kind of like showcase all of the similar features and which one does a better job, and then showcase the ones that the other can do, and you know, maybe Samsung can do this and Apple can't do that and vice versa. But I don't know if you got a chance to look through the list of the new features, but like one thing that I think you would really like, Hartley, is the ability to like stack commands. So it doesn't use Bixby failed. I think Samsung knows this. I don't even know if Bixby is even present on the phones at all. I haven't even checked. But what is replacing it is Google Gemini, as it should, because it's fantastic. And so one of the things is that you use Google Gemini and you cross it over with Samsung's own apps and you can stack commands. So one of the things that we saw was to find the next five, you know, Cavs games, basketball for you who are in the UK and don't know what the Cavs are. So find the next five games. Put it on my calendar, like create event invites for them, and then send it to somebody in your contacts via messages. So that's Gemini doing its thing and locating the information. Then it switches over to Samsung Calendar and it's creating that. And then it's switching over to the Messages app and doing that. So like that's really impressive. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think we can come close to anything like that right now with Siri. Not yet. There are some things that you can do, but I don't think you go through like different applications like that, some that are third party and some that aren't. Am I wrong?
Yeah, that's correct. So we are supposed to get features like that with Apple Intelligence, but not yet. So I don't know, are these new AI features in these Samsung devices available at launch?
Oh yeah, I can do it right now. Yeah. Like that's the thing.
So they really have beaten Apple to the punch here.
They've beaten Apple to the punch on a few things, and we'll get to that. That's a little foreshadowing for what we're going to talk about later. Although, did they really beat it, or did they just announce a prototype beforehand? Is, you know, that's kind of up for debate there. But so that's one of the things. And then now they did there are a couple of things that they did copy from Apple, you know. Maybe they had this in development before, but Apple definitely beat them to the punch on things like log video. We do get log video on the camera, which is good, I guess. But one of the other things that's, I guess it's AI focused, but like I don't really know how, because this is basically dynamic island and live activities just kind of like jammed into one feature. So it's called the Now Bar. And at the bottom of the phone, where usually you'd get live activities on an iPhone, you have very similar card style information that updates live throughout like a sporting event. Or if you have the maps open, it'll update the information. But then you can interact with it kind of like the dynamic island. So if you have like a clock timer. God, I cannot think of the word. It's the first time we're podcasting in 2025. Give me a break. If you have a timer set, you can like actually interact with it, play, pause, that kind of stuff, which you can't do on live activities, but you can do that stuff in Dynamic Island. And if they do like media down there, I'm guessing you'd be able to control media playback. And if you tap on the games that are going on, you get a little bit more information without having to launch into the actual app. You can do that all from the lock screen. So like, yeah, I mean, I don't know what's AI about that, but that's part of it. The morning brief is another thing where I completely forgot. Didn't Apple have like a morning notification summary? I apparently it's still there. I never see it. Now, I don't set alarms all the time, but when I do, like this morning I had an alarm, I never saw it. Where's like my little morning summary?
So you have to enable this in settings, in notification settings, and you actually have to select a time of day that you want the notification summary to appear.
See, I thought this was on by default because I used to have it. I never turned it off.
I don't know about that, but yeah. It's been a while since I've used it anyway. Yeah, so if you go into notification settings on your iPhone, it's under scheduled summary.
And I you figured can it select was in there, but...
What you want to appear in those summaries. And effectively what iOS does is it withholds notifications from apps that you select to only appear at a summary time. So say messages you may want to come through all the time, but maybe news notifications you only want to come through at 9 o'clock in the morning and 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And you can do that. But I will say, I don't know anyone that actually uses this feature.
And maybe this is, I don't know if anyone's going to use this morning brief feature that's in the Now bar, and then you have like a little widget. So for those who want to hop over to like the video, you can see what I'm talking about, even though it technically is backwards, so you can't really tell. But morning brief here, if I click on it, it gives me like this nice little summary, and it, I guess, uses AI to be like, hey, these are the things that would be interesting to you. But really, that only applies to what, this story down here at the bottom, which... I don't know if a killer sang 99 bottles of beer on the wall while victim's family... This is terrible. Why is this what it's recommending to me? I don't know. But and then it has like my calendar of events and then the weather. Like I don't really know how much AI is taking place there. I feel like that's a pretty common thing. But like, I mean, they're more useful than, I don't know, making a image playground image. Although... Now, we haven't talked about this a lot. We've actually haven't talked in weeks since we've stopped, really, aside from a few things. Like, did you end up using Image Playground more at all? Or is it still Genmoji?
I have not used Image Playground once. Genmoji is probably the only thing I have used. Okay. But even then, I don't think I've used Genmoji now maybe for 3 or 4 weeks.
Now, that's creating a new emoji, right? Have you been using the ones that you've made?
Maybe once or twice. I will admit I was too down on it when it came out, and I can see where there is a use case for all of these features, but I don't think they are the most interesting thing that you can do with AI. We definitely, at least in the tech community, are most interested in these sort of multi-step actions. And I think the thing that intrigued most people with Apple Intelligence were these cases that were set out at WWDC where it would effectively run through multiple third-party applications using App Intents to check your calendar against your email and take actions based on what you have written in notes and open stuff up in Safari and contacts and tie together all of this personal context. And we haven't even tried this yet. It's not available in beta. This is really one of the last pieces to fall into place for the vision of Apple Intelligence that was set out with iOS 18. Now, of course, we're getting the early rumors about iOS 19 already, and where Apple Intelligence goes next. So it's still fairly early days for this, and that does have to be mentioned. But it is interesting seeing now how Samsung, I think this is maybe, I don't know if you would agree with me, the second year that they have focused on AI.
I think this is...
I remember last time we spoke about this, they were doing all of the image playground type stuff. But this seems a lot more specific and also a lot more useful.
I agree. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I quite like that. And that will be interesting to see where Apple goes with iOS 19 and also with the iPhone 17 lineup, when inevitably they will unveil some AI features that are specific to those devices, because AI is such an important part of shifting devices off shelves now. Because as you say, there is a limit to hardware advancement. And while I don't 100% buy it, because for a lot of these features, they absolutely could come to older devices, I understand why gatekeeping them to newer devices is a good sales strategy. And to some extent, I understand that there are hardware limitations there, say with the iPhone 15 models, having that older chipset and also lacking 8 gigabytes of memory. I can understand why Apple maybe doesn't want to put Apple Intelligence on those devices. So it will be interesting to see as the specifications of these devices improve. So say with the iPhone 17 Pro models, we're expecting that to go up to 12 gigabytes of memory. Well, what does that enable in terms of AI going forward?
This episode of the Mac Rumors Show is sponsored by Incogni. The US has a big data privacy issue that you might not be aware of, and that's people search sites. These websites create detailed personal profiles on millions of Americans and publish them online for anyone to see with a simple Google search. People search can be abused by those with bad intentions, and Incogni puts an end to this problem in just 3 simple steps. All you have to do is create an account, then grant Incogni the right to work for you. And they will contact the data brokers on your behalf and request the information to be removed. And then all you need to do is just sit back and watch them work their magic with progress updates on how things are going along the way. Now, I've heard some pretty crazy stories about how people use these people search websites for malicious intent, like road rage incidents gone bad, where someone is just able to get all of your personal information based off your license plate, and then they'll come and find where that person lives, and then it's just a whole mess. And this could easily happen to you, and hopefully it doesn't. So Incogni can remove your data and also help cut down on those terrible robocalls, since all the data brokers are mostly the ones selling your personal phone numbers to these companies that have these lists. So take back your personal info and check out Incogni today. Use code TheMacRumors at the link below to get an exclusive 60% off an annual Incogni plan. Thanks, Incogni, for sponsoring this episode.
So, I mean, one thing here is that you said 12 gigs. That's also all of the amount of RAM in each phone for the Samsung Galaxy S25 lineup. So I don't know if that's just because, you know, they need it for the AI functions, or they just wanted to match Apple, or what, or the future of what Apple's looking to do. One of the things I wanted to mention, though, is that it's not like Samsung doesn't have, not dumb features, but features that we don't find useful. Like Portrait Studio is basically what Image Playground was. It just came out beforehand. So it's the same. I want to show you this, and maybe you guys can all tell me if you think it's good. They took a picture on the S25 Ultra and then printed one out using the Portrait Studio. Does this look like me?
I mean,
it looks yes. Pretty good. This is technically an AI avatar. That looks pretty good.
It's not bad.
Yeah, I wish my face was this square. I guess I don't know.
I mean, you could tell it's AI generated, but at a first glance.
But like, you've seen some of the ones of me before, and it doesn't look anything like that. So yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, like, it looks pretty good. I feel like people are going to say, why are you being so positive on Samsung? And honestly, I don't know. It's just like a lot of these just seem more useful to me. You have, they finally updated to have like natural language, which Apple has. And so you can kind of speak to it more naturally. And if you make mistakes, it's fine. You know, with the camera, this is the other thing with the cameras. We don't see a lot of like AI processing happening with Apple's lenses and like adjusting things on the fly for, say, I'll give you an example here. With the Samsung Galaxy S25, Anything after 5X optical now becomes its digital, like you can have optical quality at digital zoom is what they're calling it, basically. So if you get to 10X, it does a little processing and enhancing to make the photo look a lot better. But even at 30X, and I, you know, we'll have another video comparing the cameras. I did a 25X on the iPhone and a 30X on the Samsung One. And I mean, yes, they are digitally altering the image a little bit, but it's doing it in a way that's respectful to the image, but making it so that it's just a little bit more clear. There's no grain or fuzz happening because you're so far away from the subject. So like, that's the type of stuff that I want to see happen with the cameras. I don't want you to like smooth out my face and make me look not natural, but like if the background is, you know, the lighting situation wasn't great and you can kind of reduce that noise because you're, you know, opening up your exposure so much, like that would be really helpful, I think, to making those photos be actually useful from a long distance like that. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I agree. It's obviously a fine line with any AI integration with the calendar. I mean, with the camera.
Well, with the calendar too. You don't want them making you do random events.
Because I feel like we especially, and a lot of people in the tech community really, have been very critical of over-processing of photos. So I think that it has to be dealt with subtlety. And there are areas where I think I want AI in my photos, and there are areas where I think I don't. But as I say, I think as an industry now, the smartphone space is moving beyond AI as an initial sales gimmick, and is starting to present some more interesting use cases.
I agree. And I think like the stuff that they're showing us now, I mean, I don't know, how useful is it to be able to create a GIF in like two taps? Like, I guess it's useful, but has there ever been a time where you couldn't find a GIF that you wanted to send to people, or a GIF if you want to yell at me and correct me, whatever you want to call it? Have we determined this? Do you go GIF or GIF?
I would say GIF, but I have no idea whether that's right.
I mean, wait, I don't think anyone knows what's right. They say the guy who came up with it says it's GIF, but I think he's just wrong. So I also think he passed away. So I don't want to be disrespectful, but he's still wrong. anyways, you know, you can be able to create a GIF in like the YouTube app, for example, just by pushing the little, you know, AI button that pops up everywhere, and it offers you like, do you want to turn this image into a wallpaper or do you want to create a GIF? You hit create a GIF, you push play on the video, you pause it where you want it to stop, and then it's immediately changed as a GIF. Like that could be helpful for somebody who, you know, really wants to send obscure GIFs to people. Like being able to circle to search is something that's not technically Samsung specific, but it is a partnership with Samsung and Google, and Google has it on their phones, obviously. But like now it's improving into like audio related things. So you can circle a video. Like they showed this, but I don't think this is actually ready yet. Or if it is, they like really brief, like went past it. But like you can search for things and then have it like direct to Spotify and be like, oh yeah, in this video, you heard this song, and it'll automatically get like, that's super useful stuff, I feel like. During specific times where you need to know what it is. Instead of pulling out Shazam, you just hit a button and circle it and like, okay, yeah, it's going to tell you the song and everything that's going on in it. Yeah, I don't know. The multi-step commands is the things that I was really impressed with, in that it can do a lot of these things and work with third-party and first-party applications. But I just feel like Apple Intelligence will get there, but it's still a little behind.
I agree. And we still need to give Apple Intelligence time. I'm certainly willing to give it benefit of the doubt with these multi-step actions and these more complicated use cases. However, I will say that the thing that has been frustrating me the most about Apple Intelligence since we last spoke is ChatGPT integration. And I don't really know why it's so bad.
Yeah, is it better just to go to the app itself?
Yeah, it's a huge amount better. The way that I've had situations where I'm actually telling Siri to ask ChatGPT, which is what you're supposed to do in certain instances, and it just doesn't, or it just does the normal Siri thing of saying, here's some results from the web.
Yeah.
And it's still behaving so stupidly. And I find even the, I find that it's such a high friction way to access ChatGPT. It's not really been useful to me other than on one or two occasions when my phone wasn't to hand and it was a way of accessing ChatGPT hands-free. But it still would have been better to go to the ChatGPT app, because even the way that Siri reads the responses from ChatGPT is really not great. It feels very hastily built, this feature. And I can see that for an ordinary user, if it works correctly, if it does actually ask ChatGPT at the right moment, it could be useful if you're asking for nutritional information or something like that. But so far, when I have tried to use it, it has been really disappointing, because that should be an integration that is really essential to Apple Intelligence. And it makes me a little bit worried, considering that these later multi-step actions, ChatGPT is part of that. It's supposed to be able to pull things from your calendar, feed it into ChatGPT, and then push it out the other end into a message or a note or something. But if it can't even handle voice commands other than in very specific instances, and even then it feels quite slow, and it is not as good of an experience as the first party ChatGPT app, doesn't fill me with a huge amount of confidence. Doesn't mean it won't get better. Doesn't mean that that won't be something that they work on. But
this is why I'm surprised Apple didn't just buy, you know, OpenAI when they had the chance. They definitely can't do it now. But when they had the chance, it would have made sense to, or any kind of AI startup that was, you know, further along, because that's all that they focus on, and then just fully integrated it into Siri. And, you know, that's not what Samsung's doing. Samsung's doing the same thing that Apple's doing, but they partner with Google. And I think Gemini is very far along, even more so than ChatGPT, in the sense of how it integrates with another device and how it works with each other. Like, it's so seamless, and you don't even know that you're using another. Like, it feels like it's just a first-party thing of the phone, and it is. I mean, hold down the power button, and you can have a conversation with Google's, you know, conversational part of the Gemini experience, and be like, "Hey, this was a demo they showed us. It was crazy. They sent a photo. I was like, how's my composition? Like, what are some tips that you can show me on like making my photo better?" And it was like providing useful insights and explaining how to do that. Saying contrast and saturation are two things you want to focus on. Mess with those first and give it more pop. Like, and it was like having a conversation with a photo expert. Like, that's kind of cool. I don't know that we're there yet, and maybe we will get there at some point, I'm guessing, but I don't know.
I think that Gemini is an enormous competitive advantage for Google right now. Not per se because it's better than ChatGPT, but because Apple is trying to build its own technologies and tie together existing ones, whereas Gemini is Google's in-house technology, and particularly, say, on Pixel devices. But ultimately, these new devices from Samsung show how willing they are to work with Google as well. Those AI experiences, for now, may be far more well-integrated and far more powerful than maybe anything we can expect from Apple over the next couple of years. We are expecting Apple Intelligence with iOS 19 to have a chatbot. Is that going to be anywhere near as powerful as ChatGPT or Gemini? I would be very surprised if it was. And Apple was always historically about integration between hardware and software, but it really doesn't have that with AI in the way that actually Google does.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I'm going to give you one more. We probably should move on to one other thing here, but what I'm hoping for is what a lot of these like other applications out there that use AI in their own way to make their app better. Like, this is what I'm hoping a chatbot can do. So I'm going to give a quick shout out, not paid by any means. I actually didn't really enjoy this app at first until I started to use it. And then I got blown away by how incredibly useful it is. So there's an email app out there called Shortwave. And it has a chatbot built in. Okay, big deal, whatever. Probably other people will do this soon. It's not that. It is insane. So strip apart the privacy concerns for a minute. This thing reads all of your emails that you've ever sent. It knows exactly how you speak. And so when you ask for it to reply to another email, which is a very simple thing that it should do, it's not giving that, like, oh, this is somebody who just generated something out of ChatGPT where you can tell that it's AI generated, it has no emotion. It sounds like me in an email. And it knows all my personal details, which, whatever you want to say, it is useful for email. We get tons of requests for product. I have to send my address all the time. It does take a little bit of time to respond to this. I can look through, I can type out on this chatbot, pull all the emails over the last 10 days that are requesting for me to check out a product and respond yes and give them my address. And it will do that for all 10 emails. I got an email earlier in the week about all the stuff that was going on this week while I was in San Jose. And you know how you get an email and like they put a calendar, preemptive calendar event in there, and you're like, okay, I'm going to add this. Well, there were like 6 different things, and it didn't add any of them. It didn't like have the option to add one. It didn't recognize that these would be things that you'd want to do on that day. But what I did was I said, all right, pull out all of the events and the information and make it, into 6 different calendar events. And it did that flawlessly. Gave me the address, gave me all the info. It directs back to the email if you need to look back on it. And it added it to Google Calendar. Like, amazing. That's the useful stuff that I want Apple to be able to do in like these very specific applications, whether it be reminders, calendar, or mail, especially mail. If you are somebody who's still using email a lot for work, like this is so helpful. And then I can like, and then it'll just go through and use AI to be like, all right, you interact with these people, you don't interact with this. This looks like spam. We're gonna move all of this stuff into a different area. We're only going to show you your emails of things, but you're not missing anything. Like, it does a really good job. So shout out to Shortwave. Super impressed. I did have some choice words about the Mac app, but now that I've messed with it a little bit, it's a little bit cleaner. I didn't like how cluttered it was. The iPhone app's great, and the chatbot is actually useful. And then it gives you your example of what the message is going to look like. And if you don't like it, you can say, like, hey, take out that part about, you know, I look forward to, like, I don't talk like that. And it knows, and it won't do that again. And it's just, it's so good. So try it out. You can try it for free, and then there's subscription like everything else in the world. But that's what I want. That's what I want in AI. That's the stuff that I find useful. I don't know about you, but.
I agree. I think we're getting there. But the more interesting stuff is happening with third-party applications right now.
Yeah, because that's their life. They're devoting all their time to it. And I get it. But I don't know. If Apple and Samsung and Google are all going to push AI features and then do very small iterative updates on the hardware, then you need to make it your life and give us something that's useful. And again, this is from the tech community people, us, who are very, you know, involved in this. I would love if you're just an everyday person. I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, you probably can't call yourself an everyday general user, but... you probably are more so than us. So like, what do you find useful and what do you want your AI to do? Let us know in the comments.
Hey guys, just want to let you know this episode of the Mac Rumors Show is also sponsored by Mando. It's a new year and I think you all should do what I did and leave your expensive deodorants in the past and get Mando for 2025. I've been using Mando for a bit now and I am full steam ahead with 2025 and Mando. I got the new body wash, I got some lotion, and of course I have the deodorant stick for my pits and the deodorant wipes for everywhere else. Honestly, I've been traveling a ton already this new year and the wipes are great for when you get off the plane. Like, you can immediately start feeling refreshed. Absolutely love that. And Mando was created by a doctor who saw firsthand how normal BO was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. It works for 72 hours straight, no matter what you're doing. Maybe you're getting back into the gym for the new year, you're working overtime, whatever the case may be, Mando's got you covered with those smells. And it also comes in some pretty great scents, like Bourbon Leather, Mount Fuji, Pro Sport, and Cloverwoods. I think Mount Fuji is my personal favorite, by the way. Mando Starter Pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, you get the cream tube deodorant, 2 free products of your choice like the mini body wash or the deodorant wipes, and you get free shipping. And as a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a starter pack with our exclusive code, and that equates to over 40% off your starter pack using code MAC, M-A-C, at shopmando.com, shopmando.com. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you, and you can smell fresher, stay drier, and boost your confidence from head to toe with Mando.
One last thing that Samsung did, which was kind of hilarious. They did a one more thing at the event, which, I don't know, is that legal? Like, can Apple sue? I mean, they didn't say one more thing, but they showcased the Samsung Galaxy S25 Edge. Now, they used to have an Edge phone back in the day, and that was just like one side of the screen was curved, and like you could kind of use that edge. This is not it. Same name, but what this is basically an iPhone 17 Air, like what we've been talking about, rumors of a very, very thin device. We really got no other information besides just a quick marketing tease, and then it showed how thin the device was. And then I did see it in person, but barely. There were so many people there. If you go to Mac Rumors, you'll be able to see some of the pictures that I tried to take. I mean, it looks thin. I don't really know what else to say about it. I feel like that's what we're going to get when we get the iPhone 17 Air, or whatever they end up calling it. It's thin. I don't know. What were your thoughts when you first saw this? Were you surprised at all? I was surprised.
I don't know if I was surprised. I think we've got fairly used to Samsung trying to pre-announce things that they are aware that Apple is working on. I mean, they have all the same sort of supply chain information that we do, if not more. They know well in advance what Apple is working on. They also watch the market very closely. And this looks like it's going to be the trend for the next couple of years as the industry tries to reevaluate how to sell more entry-level devices, how to upsell entry-level devices, and carve out a space that is separate from high-end pro models. And we've seen, say with the M4 iPad Pro models, just how popular and interesting super thin devices can be with modern technology. We've come a long way since the iPhone 6. And the fact is, if you give users choice between having a thicker battery-focused Pro model and a sleeker, lighter device, that's quite an interesting proposition. I mean, go back to the MacBook Air years ago when there was a way more substantial difference between the MacBook Air and MacBook Pro. It was a very similar proposition. And it really makes sense that Samsung positioning this S25 lineup against the iPhone 17 later this year would have basically the same thing to offer, so that the ordinary person who is maybe quite interested in this sleeker, thinner device will think, well, do I want the iPhone 17 Air or do I want the S25 Edge?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I still have a hard time on both sides, Apple and Samsung. Like, why would I want a lesser phone that, you know, might be still pretty expensive, but lesser features, and the only main thing is that it's thin? But there's going to be people out there that are going to buy these devices. I'm just curious to see, like, I feel like Apple's really struggled with its standard devices or its smaller ones, especially just non-pro in general. I feel like the Samsung marketing has been a lot of the S25 Ultra, so that's obviously got to be their biggest bestseller because people just want the best, and that's the same thing with the iPhone. And so I feel like both companies are really struggling to find, like, all right, what is this entry-level phone that people want? We've tried mini. We've tried big but not powerful. Now it's time to try thin? Like, I guess? I don't know. I'm kind of...
I think it's also an area where these companies can try and showcase a different level of technological excellence.
Sure.
Because it is a massive engineering challenge to create a device this thin. And that is why sacrifices and trade-offs have to be made. And it will be very interesting if Apple and Samsung take a different direction here. These aren't necessarily going to be the same device. I don't know if the Samsung device will have two speakers, so you've got stereo sound, because the iPhone 17 Air is supposed to have only one speaker. It will be the first iPhone with only one speaker since the iPhone 6S. So that is a trade-off that has to be made here. And I understand how you may want to try to make the entry-level devices more premium in a different way. And there are not many ways you can do that other than in terms of physical design. And if you want to, say if Apple wants to remove that ultra-wide camera in the long term from the both entry-level devices, it was able to do it on the iPad Pro because no one really cares. The iPad Pro's market is quite small and no one really cares about the ultra-wide on that. But the iPhone's market is massive. If Apple takes away that camera, there will be people that will say, well, my iPhone 11 has two cameras on the back, so why do I want to get an iPhone 17 that's got only one camera on the back? But if Apple says, well, this is a superior camera and it's to accommodate this this radical design, it reframes that discussion. And in the long run, it also may be far cheaper for Apple to manufacture and it can deliver a lower price point. But I think it's interesting. And also just in terms of marketing, the Air brand is very powerful. People are very familiar with MacBook Air, increasingly with iPad Air as well. And there has never been an iPhone Air. Right now, iPhone 16 Plus and iPhone 16 are quite nebulous ideas. People don't fully understand the difference between an iPhone 16 Plus and an iPhone 16 Pro Max. But iPhone 17 Air is something completely different.
Yeah.
And I think ordinary users understand the distinction between Air is thin and light and less powerful, and Pro is more powerful and bigger. And that is a lot easier for people to understand. I also think there is a decent contingent of people that want a big display on their device, but actually don't want something super heavy, maybe don't need all those cameras. And this would be a device for those people.
Every time I always think that there's a group that of people that are going to buy this, though, then we get another report like 3 months later that says these iPhones aren't selling so well. And I'm like, well, never mind. I guess I was wrong.
I think ultimately they're never going to sell fantastically well, but I imagine that this device will sell in better numbers than the device it's replacing, which is the iPhone Plus model, which itself replaced the Mini and has barely been more popular than the Mini.
I was going to say, do we know which one was better between the two? I never looked at
the numbers. I believe the Plus sold marginally better, but it's still very low. It's still the least popular iPhone model, which makes sense at its price point. And chances are that if you're looking to buy a Plus model right now, you end up going for the Pro if you're mainly focused on specifications, because it's only $100 more. If you want a bigger phone, you may make the leap to the Pro Max, especially with carrier pricing, that may be possible. But if you just want an iPhone, you probably are going to just go for the standard model. So it's the most squeezed out device. Making it into this new special thing definitely carves out the space much better. And I can see it being more popular, and I can see it taking the standard models in a more interesting direction in years to come. But I just don't know if it's ever going to be enormously popular, because Apple sells five different kinds of iPhone. That's not even including the older models that it sells. And this is only going to get more busy because we are expecting a foldable iPhone in the next few years as well. So yeah. This is what happens when you add more models to the lineup. It becomes harder to make a distinction between them. But I think there is a valid argument for people that do just want a big iPhone and don't necessarily need all the Pro features. And right now, I still think a lot of people who go for the Plus or should be Plus customers think, oh no, but the Pro Max is the best. I want the Pro Max. Because the Plus brand is not strong enough.
Right. And that's why I think the Mini would have succeeded if it was a Pro. If it was a Pro Mini, I think it would have succeeded. I think we'd still have one.
Well, I think it would have succeeded, but for different reasons. I think there definitely are people that just want a big iPhone, but they are drawn to the Pro Max because it's almost a it's just the brand of the Pro Max. You're buying the top line iPhone.
It's a superficial.
It's got this design that is clearly nicer, and I think that if the Air is positioned as a premium product, as a showcase of premium design, a lot of people who buy the Pro Max just because it's the best iPhone and they want a big iPhone will be drawn to the Air. And as a result, it may perform better than the Plus and will still take a lot of Plus customers. I mean, it will be smaller than the Plus very slightly. So it's expected to have a 6.6-inch display, but it will have ProMotion. It will still have Dynamic Island. You'll get a 48 megapixel camera on there,
but
do you use the ultra wide? Those people, do people who buy that device really use the ultra wide? Probably
not. I do use the telephoto though. I'd be missing that telephoto.
But right now, the Plus customers don't have that.
So they're fine.
That's still an upgrade, and you still get that 2x crop on that sensor, which is pretty good for most people anyway.
Yeah. Here's the thing on that real quick before we move on. iPhone 17 Air leaks recently on the camera. It's a single camera, but it has a bar across, because we've been hearing this whole thing about the bar, which I still don't know is actually going to happen or not, but very similar to a Pixel, Google Pixel 9. They have the little like camera bar, so if you want to know what we're talking about, it's kind of like that. Do you think the camera bar... Here's two questions. A, do you think the camera bar is going to happen on any of these devices? And if it does, do you think it'll be on the Air, even though it only has one lens?
I don't... Truthfully, I just don't know if they're going to go for a camera bar. I think, obviously, because it looks so similar to a Pixel device, I'm somewhat skeptical that Apple would be so willing to accept all of that bad press, not only from the tech community, but also to ordinary consumers, just lose the distinction between their own devices and Pixel devices. But what we do know based on reliable sources, because some of these pictures we've seen lately are definitely not reliable sources, but
right.
From reliable sources, what we know is that the iPhone is going to have this hybrid back where the camera array will be aluminium instead of being made of 3D glass, but the bottom half of the device will continue to be made of glass to support wireless charging. So that is some level of vertical separation there, where the camera section will be aluminium and the bottom of the device will be glass. So that is some sort of vertical line going on there. Whether that's a bar, I don't know. It could just be a sort of a segment of the top of the device that is made of aluminium, but we still get a very similar camera arrangement to what we have now, or a very similar camera arrangement, but the LiDAR sensor and the flash move to the right-hand side of the device. So it's definitely possible, but I'm not 100% convinced that this is happening yet. All I believe is that that is going to be made of aluminium, that half of the device, not glass. And in the pictures we've seen, that is a glass camera array.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is just rumors running away with themselves a little bit. And with regards to whether the iPhone 17 Air will have that, I don't really know why it would if it's only got one camera. I think Apple would probably want to show off about the single camera. I think it would want to lean into it. I don't think it would want to hide it. Mm-hmm. So if that was the case, I can imagine it being this really prominent round camera. And also, it's not supposed to be in the corner. It's supposed to be in the middle. So it should be this ultra prominent thing that Apple is saying, yes, this device only has one camera, but that's because it is such a good camera. And it's not in the same place it is on other iPhones, because this is not a normal iPhone. This is a new direction. It's all part of the marketing of it.
Yeah. All right, real quick, couple minutes. Project Moohan, hilarious name, most likely not what it's going to be when it gets released. This is Samsung and Google's partnership for an AR/VR headset, and it looks familiar. I just can't quite put my finger on it. Anyone out there?
Look familiar.
It's just a Vision Pro. I mean, it looks like a Vision Pro, which is fine. I like the look of the Vision Pro, but we don't like the way it feels sometimes. So I really hope that they've learned from everyone who is complaining. Like, the look of the Vision Pro is never anybody's issue. It's the weight. And like, you're going to use those premium materials. That's great. Don't make it so freaking heavy. And so hopefully Samsung and Google have been paying attention. And, you know, it looks like it's a little more comfortable. It's got this like little backrest on it. No one's tried it. We don't know anything about it. We just know that it exists and this is what it looks like. And that's really it. Like, we don't even know what it can do. We know it's AR/VR.
You know, we've had some very interesting discussions about Vision Pro over the last couple of years. Sure. But I think this is an opportunity to actually praise Vision Pro and really, I think this announcement shows, just as Meta kind of changed its direction, and even Meta's UI design changed in response to Vision OS, Apple has definitely massively influenced what these devices look like, what it's like to use them, the sort of hardware that they offer. And so while the Vision Pro isn't perfect, it's definitely been massively influential. So fair play to Apple for actually doing that, because
while no real person actually has one, everybody knows what they look like, and that's insane.
And it goes to show really that no one else has come up with anything better. It's not like Meta's software has been better than VisionOS. It's not like Samsung's design has been better than that of Apple's. Everyone is just basically copying this device. Now, I imagine it will be very different to use. I imagine the fits will be very different. The finish will be very different, a completely different set of features. But it is interesting to see just how much this space is slowly converging and borrowing some aspects here, which there's nothing wrong with. I wouldn't call it copying. I mean, if something's a good idea, of course, you're going to, you know, flattery is a highest form of... copying is the highest form of flattery, so...
Copy the homework, but change it up just a little bit so you don't get in trouble. That's fine. So we'll see what it looks like, but I'm all for these companies taking the good things from other companies and then making it their own and then adding in their own extra features, and that's what I want. I don't want another Vision Pro, but if it's going to take all the good stuff from it, that's fine. And then show me what else Apple got wrong and make it better. And Samsung does that with some things. I mean, we just talked about Galaxy AI for the first 25 minutes about how it's taking some of these things and it's making it better right now. And then, you know, I don't know if Portrait Studio really is better than Image Playground, but like some of the other features are right now ahead of Apple, and that's what I want to see. Competition is a good thing. If we don't have no competition, then these products are going to suck. So, yeah, that's where we're at. I just, you know, couple of things out there, one that's kind of ahead of Apple in the game and the other one that's definitely a little behind. I just thought those were funny, but I'm excited. It looks like that's going to come out in 2025, I guess. I don't know that I believe that, but then the Edge will also be out in the summer, so it'll in theory beat Apple to the punch on releasing a slim phone. Do people care though? Do you think people will be like, wait a minute, Samsung just did this when they announced it in the fall?
I don't think that really ever tends to happen. I think Samsung quite regularly tries to pre-announce certain ideas or certain sorts of products that they know Apple will go on to do, even with specific features. We've seen that plenty of times over the years. But the fact is, Apple just gets way more fanfare.
But it's smart, though, because you're piggybacking off of that fanfare.
Yeah. And ultimately, if Samsung believes that the industry is moving in this direction, it wants to be there. And I actually think reviving the Edge brand for this is a pretty good idea, because I do have some nostalgic memories of those Edge devices. And
wasn't it so cool?
it was very, like, I don't remember what year it was, very 2013 or whatever. Yeah, it was like
there.
The first like curved display, and it was,
but it was only one part of the display.
I know. I mean, it looks really silly now, but it was a fun thing. And part of me hopes that they will be able to recapture some of that fun with this device. It can't just be design. It's got to set itself apart. And the same goes for the iPhone 17 Air. But I think we have a fairly clear idea of how the Air is going to be a completely different kind of iPhone. Will the Edge just be a thinner S25? Or is it also going to be a completely different kind of device?
Kind of what it looks like right now, I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, if you don't like Samsung, whatever, I don't care. I like all these brands. I like to test them all. That's just the nature of my job, and it's fun. And, you know, yes, we focus on iPhone because that's the niche of our brand here, but, like, there are other things out there that are fun and sometimes more enjoyable to use. And you can say what you want about Samsung or Google or other. They do innovate, though, and they do things that Apple has never even thought about doing or is not even anywhere close to doing. And I can name, you know, a bunch off the top of my head. We could talk about the foldables. We could talk about having stylus for your phone that's, you know, integrated into the device. That's been a staple of their brand for years. And it's things that don't exist anywhere else. And whether they're useful to you or not. And then you talk about the Edge screens. Like, that was such a nostalgia thing. We're like, yeah, now you kind of goof on it a little bit because it was like, all right, did anybody really enjoy that? But at the time, you were a business guy who had an Edge phone and it had the stocks being switched around and you got your little notifications there. That was cool to you at the time. It's like, that's the kind of stuff that I want to see more of. Whether I'll use it or not is a different story, but I just want to see more fun, unique ideas. So that's it. That's our show. Yeah. That's our show for this week. I don't really have anything else to say. We should be every week now for the foreseeable future. barring any illnesses. So we're back. We're back. I'll see you in a couple of weeks in person.
You will.
Oh, we should probably start telling people to like send some questions in. We'll tell them at the beginning of next week. But get some questions. We'll do another Q&A episode. I think people really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, so we'll do another one. Ask us anything. Nothing's off limits because we just won't read your question if it's bad. If it's something too personal, we just won't read it. I'll be honest with you. But I still like seeing them. They make me laugh. All right. We'll catch everybody in the next episode.